Welcome, readers, to the Buddy Book Club 2022 edition. In 2021, I was a man in search of redimency, and who would have thunk I'd find it here with you, Keith. What's up, buddy?
You've already said the word redimency to me before, and this was yesterday, and I still don't remember what it means. What is it, when two souls combine or something?
It's when the love that you share for someone is reciprocated back in equal amounts.
Oh, yeah. I'll remember that for the next like 2 or 3 hours, and then tomorrow you'll have to remind me what that word means again.
It was on one of the chapters, the top of all her letters for each... We're reading Rock, Paper, Scissors, by the way. But for each anniversary, they also open up with like a word of the day or word of the year, and redimency was one. And I was like, huh, that's sweet. Unfortunately, I don't know how I'd use it except for how I just did. So just between me and you, brother. But here at the Buddy Book Club, we're breaking down some bestsellers. And this week, as I previously said, we'll be discussing Rocks, Paper, Scissors by Alice Feeney. No relation to Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World. He is a fictional character, but this is a fictional book. But Alice Feeney is indeed a real person. If you'd like to recommend a book for us to read or reach out to us about any past episodes, you can visit our website, buddybookclub.com, or slide into our DMs on Twitter or Instagram, Buddy Book Club Podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes and Spotify, so please download and subscribe. We've got a special show today with Steph from @RueReads on the IG machine. She'll be joining us for the love-hate segment. Maybe sprinkle in a little favorite character, perhaps. You know, I think we'll probably all be along the same lines with this book. We're looking to have more guests in 2022, so if you want to join or happen to have J.K. Rowling's phone number and she wants to join, hey, we'll do a Harry Potter episode. Let us know. But let's get to Rock, Paper, Scissors. Keith, Rock, Paper, Scissors is a story about a dog named Bob who separated from his owners due to a philanderous husband, only to be reunited 10 years later when his original mom lures his new mom into a trap and murders her. The end. Accurate?
That is the best. It's the best description you could possibly get for this book. It's really what it is. I wish we had chapters and it was like, you know, it's like Robin and then it goes into the chapter. I wish it was like Bob. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm hungry. This place sucks. It's cold. There's no bones here for me to like eat.
Yeah, Bob's like,
there should have been a chapter for that.
Why can't I get into that bedroom? I just want to snuggle up.
Hey, I'll get into that later, sir. You don't bury the lead, pun intended, or bury the bone, pun intended.
Ooh. Also, how do they just keep losing track of Bob? He's a big dog. He's a big old dog. He really shouldn't be wandering too much. Don't understand that. But Rock, Paper, Scissors is actually about a married couple falling out of love who wins a trip to the Scottish Highlands, but the vacation is not what it seems, and both of their pasts catch up to them. It's also told in a series of letters that the wife wrote to the husband on their anniversary, but never shared with him. And spoiler alert, it was actually the other woman. It was his previous wife. It wasn't his current wife. So if you didn't listen to the book, you should just continue listening to us because now there's no point. Before we get into the categories, I'd like to start off with a libation. This book, I feel like, was mostly wine-centric, although they were in the Scottish Highlands, so you think they'd be drinking scotch, but didn't see much of that. And they did have a crypt full of wine. So I'm drinking some barrel-aged red, and I wish it was from, you know, the dusty, spider-infested, whispering-in-your-ear cellar. But unfortunately, it's just from my local liquor store, package store, if you're in the Northeast. That's what I got. And Keith, are you on the coffee machine right now?
I have a Kovo knockoff. It's a coffee vodka, but it's a knockoff brand from the original Kovo TM.
Nice. And if you don't want to enjoy an alcoholic beverage, please, don't let us try to influence you. Have a Shirley Temple. They're delicious. Let's jump right into the categories. Start us off, we got favorite scene. This book really wasn't a scene-based book, but what did you have for this one?
I guess the whole book, I kept on assuming that everyone was having affairs and there was some kind of like big love triangle or square or pentagon going on where everyone was sleeping with everyone.
Naturally.
I guess because it is like a wife and husband really drama, so there always seems to be some sort of thing going on there. But you know, like the daytime television where there's always some sort of drama with like people sleeping with dead people.
You thought this was an episode of Jerry Springer?
No, I thought it was like a soap opera. I thought for sure that Robin, who is writing the letters, it's hinted at that there was some sort of affair, right? So I always thought that Robin meets this new friend and then you find out it's a woman and it ends up being Amelia. But it sounded like she was going off with her on like in like trips and stuff and they were like hooking up. So that didn't end up happening. But like when the reveal occurs, that's really cool. I also thought that Robin was hooking up with Henry Winter, who ends up being her father.
Now that would be a telenovela.
I think she did a good job of creating drama, creating tension without just doing the typical tropes of like, oh, everyone's just cheating on everyone, you know?
Yeah.
There was only one of that, but I thought it was good. And also a pat on the back for me for just thinking, you know, a lesbian couple, no big deal. A huge age gap couple, no big deal. That's a pat in the back. We're in 2022. I didn't even bat an eye. I'm like, yeah, obviously.
There's a word for that. Like when you're like proud of your own level of acceptance is like actually not acceptance.
All right. For instance, what was it? True Detective season 2.
Yeah. Trash season. Go on.
Terrible. The whole like big secret in that was that Timmy Riggins is gay. And I'm like, okay, who cares? That was literally the big, like, this big army guy's gay. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's not like a, you know, that's not a big deal. But they like, that was still happening. That was like, what, 6 or 7 years ago that came out?
I immediately forgot about that season right after I watched it. Oh,
it's terrible. It's so bad.
But they came back for season 3 and it was good. Mahershala, my man. Okay, well, for my favorite scene, I had similar in the cheating vibe. The cheating scene, which is like kind of rolls right into the big reveal. We find out that Robin walked in on Amelia, and truthfully, no one wants to be cheated on for sure. There's, you know, that's horrible. But to walk in on it, extra horrible. To have the woman that your husband's cheating on you with, like, smirk at you, I'm surprised she didn't just, you know, drop the gloves and just go straight fisticuffs. Like, that alone would send me off the wall. But instead, she decides to take it out on a plant. So she goes outside, digs up that magnolia, and, you know, picks up a magnolia that's the size of her and carries it upstairs, tucks it into bed with Adam. It's just a savage move. It's like, we kind of alluded to this before, but like I talked about with you, it's right up there with the Godfather in the horse head. It's just such a legendary move to not physically murder both of them in their sleep. And instead, just
legendary. What a legendary move.
But just to go outside and they're like, oh, she's leaving. It's like, no, what do I hear? There's something going on outside. Because to dig up a tree, like, that doesn't take you a minute. Like, she was gone for 20 minutes digging up this tree. And then all of a sudden, they hear her pulling a tree upstairs. And then she quietly tucks it into bed with him. That's psycho stuff. I mean, we learn later that Robin is a legit psychopath, so I respect it. And then it goes right into the scene where they're in the secret room and Amelia's pointing out to Adam that there's pictures of his first marriage, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, that's the twist. So I dug it. Literally. Oh, my God.
No, got him. There. But do you think the magnolia tree was in bloom? It was blooming? It was in blossom?
It was in blossom? It was in bloom?
It was in season?
I'm going to go with in blossom. We like that. I just like the sound of it.
Isn't that like a Nirvana song? Anyways, I just looked up a picture of them. It's one of those trees that has like kind of like flowers in it, and it just sheds a shitload. It's one of those ones where you parked your car next to it, you have like 35 leaflets on your car. So can you imagine? That's almost worse than murder, having to clean that up. Get killed or you have to clean that up. I think that was the better move from her.
Let's roll into some stock up, stock down. We got some good ones, I think. Stock up, what do you have?
Stock up, dogs with human names. So obviously Bob from this one. And I have to do a big shout out to my adopted dog son, Frederick, aka Fred. But, I mean, I just love the idea of having a dog that's just a human name. I mean, because really, the dogs become part of the family at some point, right? So I don't get, like, you know, if you're calling something like your dog like Skip or like Fletcher or something, I feel that's a little demeaning. And I feel like these dogs should have real names. So I appreciate it. The one miss, I think, though, is here is I'd be calling, you know, his full name would be Robert.
Mm.
I would have all these sort of these dad jokes ready to go with this. It'd be... I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's Robert. His friends call him Bob. You know, you're like, you got to call him Robert for now. He'll warm up to you, and then you can call him Bob. It's just like, I'd have him ready to go. I'd be talking about him like, it's like, oh, man, Bob's really grinding my gears today. You know, like, it's like the boss. Like, no, that's my dog. It's like, what? So Yeah, I'd just be I'd be milking that for all it's worth.
Yeah, like your friend comes over, he's like, "Oh, hi, Bob." You're like, "Oh, I'm sorry." It's only Bob to his friends. Like, you guys will get there, but for now, yeah, just refer to him as exactly. Robert.
Yeah, and it's like if he's being like playful, it's like, "Oh, Bobby, that's old Bobby. You know, muddy feet. You know, he's out there doing his thing."
No, I like it. It's like a kid. You know what I mean? It's his name's Bob, but when he gets in trouble, it's Robert. You know?
Exactly.
When he poops on the furniture or whatnot.
It's the full name. Robert Joseph Levitt. Get in here.
Were you going for a Joseph Gordon Levitt there?
Yeah, I couldn't think of another Joseph.
You mean Robert?
Robert Joseph Stalin. I mean, what?
Well, I dig into this a little more, but I have some of that coming in our love-hate segment, so I'm gonna hold off for now. But my first stock up is working in an animal shelter. So if you think about someone that works in an animal shelter, normally you're thinking someone that just does it for the love of the animals. You know, they just want to be there for some stray animals and try to help them out. But it turns out that you can actually win vacations and like sweet prizes if you work at an animal shelter. And considering I work at a very large company, I've been in a lot of raffles and stuff like that that they have, you know, maybe for charity or around the holidays. I won a $10 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. Like, that was my big win. And to think that all I'd have to do is quit my job and go to like the ASPCA and I could be, you know, sitting on a beach in Mexico with a Mai Tai.
Well, first of all, wouldn't a $10 Dunkin' gift card be better than this cabin in the woods?
I found the chapel to be delightful. I mean, minus the whole murdering part. But on top of that, though, working at an animal shelter, you get to use power. You know, you actually have power because Amelia or Robin, I kind of forget who it was, but I'm pretty sure Amelia she's in charge of making sure these dogs go to good homes. So she gets to screen all these people. So if you wanted your adopted dog there, who rescued who, if you wanted to go and adopt him, you know, you'd walk in there and she might just say, nope. One person comes in, they want to change the dog's name. It's like, rejected. We don't do that. You keep the name. It's like, oh, you want to get the dog, take cute videos, post it on Instagram? Nope, rejected. You get to strong arm people, even though you're making $8 an hour and cleaning up dog poop for the rest of the day. Sometimes you get to just tell people what to do. And also on top of that, though, I do want to say, wanting to change a dog's name, like, who cares? Dogs aren't the brightest of beings. And I know that a dog later in life, you probably shouldn't change its name. But if you want to, the biggest concern here was changing it from a man's name to a woman's name. Excuse me. It's 2022 now. No one gives a fuck. You can name it whatever you want. Don't ever assume that dog's gender. Cause you don't know. You don't know. So get your shit straight, Amelia.
Well, yeah, and I don't think you should necessarily change the dog's name if it's older in life, unless you're changing it to something formal, like I had mentioned previously, right? Then I'm in for
it. Yeah, it's like Rocky, and you're like, I don't like Rocky, but I'll name it Robert.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, yeah.
What else do you have for stock up?
Stock up good red herrings.
The birds?
Yes. So in previous episodes, I thought a red herring was a bird, which I think I still am not positive it's not a bird. I don't know. We have to check that out. So the red herring, and correct me if I'm wrong here, D-Man, is something that occurs that takes you off the scent but isn't really necessary to the story.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Early in the book, when we're first meeting the characters, we find out that Adam is secretly putting sleeping pills into Amelia's tea.
Mm.
You know, pretty shady, pretty shady.
Definitely.
However, we find out that Amelia, for an 8-hour road trip, took out Adam's phone and removed it from the car. So my question becomes, D-Man, what is worse? Giving some nice sleepy time tea and letting someone go to sleep and having a nice relaxing night, or ruining an 8-hour trip, having zero ability to communicate, zero ability to, you know, Google Map, put music on, do all the things you need to do as the passenger seat, your primary job in the shotgun seat? What is worse, D-Man? Not that I influence you anyway by how I compare those two.
Yeah, I have no idea what you feel is worse. But don't get me wrong, I love a good Cameo Sleepy Time Tea. So I wish they were a sponsor because I would, you know, we'd change our entire libation segment just to chamomile tea. I'd be very happy. They make 5-hour energy drinks, but they also make XL 5-hour energy drinks, and people love those. What's the difference between a sleeping pill and a chamomile tea? It's just the XL version of it. I would love that. So really, it's biting your nose to spite your face if you take someone's phone away on a road trip, because they're in charge of music, they're in charge of navigation. Yeah. Those are the two most important things. So you're really, then you have to sit there and like have conversation. Like what?
for 8 hours?
Yeah, for 8 hours. But on top of that, you know, sometimes you want to drift off, you know, check the football scores, or in Scotland, maybe the cricket scores, or, oh no, what are they? Hurling. Hurling is probably a big, big thing there. So yeah, I'm with you. Don't take my phone away. You deserve to die. Is that what you're alluding to?
Yeah, what I'm getting back to, yes, to tie this all together, is that it was a red herring to be like, oh, there's something like, you know, dark going on, because she's like, oh, I don't want him to have his phone. Really, the reason she did that is just so they could communicate, apparently. I don't know. It didn't make any sense. But that is something that's worth getting killed for. You should not do that to any person. And it ended up not really being a red herring, because she ended up getting killed because she, like, that type of thing. So good red herrings. I'm in for them. Stock up.
Yeah, the whole, like, letter that Robin wrote him that was like, hey, you know, do you choose rock? Do you choose paper? Do you choose scissors? I'm going to, like, make your screenplay happen. You know, we're going to find love again. We're going to move back into London, and this is going to be great. He's like, no, screw all that. She took my phone away. I'm going to murder her. Didn't need the note. We're good.
Yeah. She was dead right when that happened, so...
All right. Well, for my next stock up, I've got prosopagnosia. Prosopagnosia. That's a tough word. Shouldn't even be real. But that's the face blindness. And I'm sorry if this section, you know, big face blindness, the lobbying group wants to come at me. You know, maybe I'm off base here. But it's a stock up for me, because if you have this, you don't need to remember people's names. It's a big problem for me. I'm not great with names. I'm trying to be better with mindfulness and like living in the moment and like taking those things in and like caring about when someone else says their name, but I just forget it. It's just something that immediately goes out of my head. But if you have prosopagnosia or big P, then you're going to forget their face anyways. So there's no reason to remember their names, because they're just going to assume that you don't recognize them. Additionally, you never have to have, I don't know if it was from Seinfeld or from Curb, but the stop and chat with anyone. You never have to have that. Those awkward situations when you recognize someone in the street, or, you know, I used to commute a lot. So you'd see someone on the train, it'd be 7 o'clock in the morning, and you'd see someone on the train that you knew, and you'd have to sit there and talk to them. And really all you want to do was big headphones on, have a coffee, listen to a podcast. But now you got to go up to these people.
Anyone you want to specifically call out on the pod, just say that you don't ever want to talk to them?
Well, I did run into an acquaintance by the name of Greggy Butts one time. And, you know, this one just sticks out because it was like, oh, I...
The butt? His butt did? Or what stuck out?
No.
Got him!
It was Greggy Butts because of the cigarettes, not the...
Okay. Greggy Big Butts?
But you don't want to have that conversation. It doesn't matter who it was. Truthfully, it really doesn't matter. It could be my mom, who I love to death. But I don't want to see her at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm commuting. I really just want to have my head down and being getting ready for the day. But if you have prosopagnosia, then there's none of those situations, because you could just walk right by that person and they just feel bad for you. They'd immediately go like, oh, wow, he didn't even recognize me. Gosh, that's a really debilitating disease or whatever, affliction. So that's, you know, exhibit B. And exhibit C, which might need to be exhibit A, is in the cheating scene. He's cheating on his wife, and his real wife walks in, and he just goes, oh, I thought it was you. And there's a potential that she might go, oh, gosh, that prosopagnosia really stinks. I feel bad for him. Like, oh, he has a really bad affliction with this. I can't believe he did it. It's a ballsy move, considering.
It's a really ballsy. I think that she shouldn't have like killed him. She should have dug up the tree and put it in there. But once he said that, where he's like, "Oh, I thought it was you," I think every judge out there would be like, "All right, you can kill him for that." That's come on.
Yeah, I thought it was you. It just doesn't make any sense, considering like
no.
Voices, body types, hair.
It's one thing to cheat. It's another thing to say, "Are you really, really dumb?" That's what he's claiming. Do you believe how dumb I think you are?
At that point, I feel like you just tuck your tail, tuck that dick between your legs, and you say, my bad, let's figure this one out, you know, I fucked up. But instead, he just keeps digging. You know, she starts digging, but he keeps digging with the, you know, I thought it was you. No. That ain't gonna work. But you know what? Prosopagnosia. Stuck up! Couple quick ones. One is password security. Henry Winter just makes all of his passwords Robin. So I think this might just be a problem with the elderly where they just use very obvious passwords. But, you know, it allows Robin to kind of pretty much take on his identity. She steals his identity pretty much. Granted, it ends up being, you know, probably useful to the world and that she comes up with a couple good books that people are going to like. So good for her on that. But outside of that, you know, you should probably be upgrading the security on the passwords. And so normally I'd be upset when all those password places are like, no, your password's weak. You know, you should do better. And I'm like, oh God, this is so frustrating. But after reading this, it's like, you know what? Maybe it shouldn't just be the first pet name I ever had, which I'm not going to say on air because that's how they get you.
Here's the thing, though. If you die and someone just takes on your identity, first off, wow, I must have an important life if someone wants to take my identity on, you know? I'm a little, almost honored by that. I'm actually really not upset, you know?
Yeah. Well, they can take my identity and continue to pay off my mortgage if that's what they want to do. But
Oh, not your best. Yeah. That's a lot of debt.
You stole my identity. Now you're in debt. Good for you. Yeah. My other one is Dippy Eggs and Toast Soldiers. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with this delicious breakfast. What do you normally eat for breakfast?
Recently I've been doing a corn muffin and tea.
That's your Dunkin' Donuts order, isn't it?
Yeah, corn muffin hot chocolate at Dunkin' Donuts. But they don't really have corn muffins out here. I don't know why. They don't even have them at Dunkin's out here.
You have to go to a specialty place?
I don't believe in corn. I mean, there's one or two grocery stores that ends up having them. But everywhere else, like, you go to, like, a, you know, coffee shop, bagel shop, they'll be like, blueberry, you know, all that other typical stuff that's there, and they're never corn muffins. So now I'm just fiending them.
I will agree with you. Corn muffin may be the most underrated of the muffins.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Especially you get that grilled, like split in half and grilled with a little bit of butter on it. Ooh, baby. But if you're in for a more wholesome breakfast, Dippy Eggs and Toast Soldiers, it's kind of a British thing. I learned about it from my brother-in-law, who is Canadian but has British ancestry because, you know, War of 1812. But it's basically a soft-boiled egg. And they have these cute little cups, you know, that they put them in. Like, it's like a kind of like it stands it up. And you cut the top off of it, and then you get the toast, and you cut it into little strips, and you use the toast to dip it in to the soft-boiled egg, you know, pretty much soft-boiled egg, you know, let your water boil, put a couple eggs in there, get a soft boil for maybe 7 minutes, take it out, cut the top off, you're ready to go. So a little salt and pepper, oof, and you know, use the toast to get into that yolk, and then afterwards, it usually comes, if you buy the set, it comes with like a cute little spoon, and then you use that to scoop the egg out. It's just a wonderful way to start your day. It feels regal, like there's something very fancy about it, even though it's just a soft-boiled egg with some toast. But it's really nice. Next time I see you, I'll make you some Dippy Eggs.
Well, for me, the egg is always like a dangerous dog in the room. You know, I know it's there. I still want to look it in the eyes, though.
Oh, you know? Got you.
So if I get a bacon, egg, and cheese, it's great because it adds some filling. If I have scrambled eggs, it's great. I put some, you know, get a couple pieces of toast, throw that on there, eat the toast with it on there. But I never really like it, you know, by itself. It's just, that's not for me.
Well, the toast soldiers help.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the hard-boiled egg thing is why I never could get into that. It's just like, do you really like eggs? Okay, do you want them even worse and even weirder texture? It's like, no. It's like, great, you'll love these. It's like, wait, what?
Well, no, it's
like, you can throw salt on it, though. It's like, that doesn't do enough for me. I need more.
It's a soft-boiled egg, which is, you know, a runny yolk, which I think you're into. So,
all right, so it's like over-easy.
Yeah, except it's an over-easy, but it's inside the eggshell still. And it helps for a breakfast because there's very little cleanup. So we can move on to stock down.
Anniversary presents, stock down.
Oh. Don't tell your girlfriend.
Well, let me get some context here. So Robin, in her letters, she's like, yeah, we're drifting apart. This is like year 4 or 5. But previous letters, she talks about like the proposal. She talks about her gifts and everything like that. And Adam is doing like the most romantic gestures for every single anniversary, every single...
Sorry to interrupt you, but even if all of the ones he didn't do were good, one of the ones was he bought her a house, right?
Yes.
Like her dream house.
So like one of them was, I think it was silk or something, or I don't know, whatever the thing that's really soft on cheats. He's like, oh, I got a surprise for you. And she's like, oh, I guess he did remember our anniversary. And she's like, oh, yeah, here's a huge house I bought for you. I know it's in your dream house in your area. She's like, oh, my God, it's amazing. But it doesn't match the silk
theme.
Is.
And then the he's theme
like,
is off.
Yeah, it doesn't match the theme. It's like, are you serious? And then he's like, brings her up and he's like, has like a bed made out of silk, this amazing setup. She's like, okay, I guess it's okay now. And then her present, her gift to him was like a satchel. And then the next year, when he plants that tree, he did something else with wood or something. I forget what it was.
Sure
it was
did. Like
a, it was, yeah, it was a good gesture. She gives him a fucking ruler, a ruler. Who uses a ruler these days? And then at one point later on, she's like, "I guess we both need to work on our gift giving." No, you fucking need to work on your gift giving. Like my boy Adam has actually brought his A game every time. I don't know. That just annoyed me. And when Adam cheated. You know, made sense. Let me clarify. It's not really about what the gift is. It's about the effort. She literally puts zero effort into it and then's like, oh, he forgot our anniversary. It's like, no, you didn't do shit for this.
Buddy, she folded a paper crane. Do you know how hard that is?
Yeah. She looked it up online like 30 seconds before. She's like, oh, shit, I gotta get this done.
Yeah, that's totally something I would do. My girlfriend would give me like, you know, stationery that has, you know, embossed with your name on it. It's got all this stuff. And I'd be like, I made you this origami dog.
It's good luck, though. You're superstitious, right?
All right, that's a good one. For my stock down, I have labor shortage / the Great Resignation.
Okay.
This has been happening this last year with COVID or whatnot, but hear me out. Stock down. We don't even need people to run an inn anymore. And this isn't like McDonald's where you just like put a video screen up or anything. You don't need robots. You don't need people. Check in? Nah. Just walk to the front door and make yourself at home. Room service? Nah. Go to the freezer. Reheat a meal yourself. No problem. Sommelier? Nah. Just walk to the creepy cellar. Grab yourself a bottle. No uncorking fee. It's perfect. You literally do not need anyone. These people seemed more than happy to be chilling in this rundown inn with no one in it. So why do we need people in the hotel business? We don't need them. Just get rid of everyone, reduce your overhead, and you're okay. Simple as that. So I'm sorry all these people looking for jobs, but we don't need you.
Aren't you describing an Airbnb, though? Isn't that what this is, pretty much?
Yeah, but it was like... as if they were supposed to be at a hotel. You know, it was supposed to be like an inn that she won, you know? So it's not like it was supposed to be a house that they just walked into that were fine. It was like, oh, we won a vacation.
But you never know in the UK. They're like manors, castles. They just have wonky names out there. Like, you go into a castle, that just means it's a house. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to a castle.
That's true. And the Scottish Highlands actually has lots of castles. I mean, we did this before with, what was the other book we read?
Hunting Party.
Hunting Party, yeah, one of our first episodes. But they got a sick-ass place that it was pretty much an Airbnb. So I think that, you know, castles, you're just assumed maybe that there's going to be no one there. I was hoping for, like, an old crypt keeper or someone like that. You know, some guy that holds a lantern and is like, come on in, madam. You know?
Yeah. Well, they kind of did have that with Robin, but...
Yeah, that's fair. But she wasn't as welcoming. Yeah, you know.
But what is interesting is my next stock down is Scotland.
What? How dare you?
Dives right into the hunting party. Well, I mean, serious question though: is Scotland Antarctica? Because the two books we've read, it's just like a frozen, isolated tundra. Right? There's like no one out there living. True. There's no communication. They're literally in Antarctica. And so I was like, this is ridiculous. There's no way this is real. So I look on a map. Turns out, Scotland is north of any major city in Canada. It's north of Moscow on a map.
Oh.
Yeah, did you know that?
I didn't know anything about maps. No. Tell me about maps.
I thought Scotland was Maine. London is
Boston. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know?
Yeah.
But I looked it up. The warmest it gets there in the summer is 67 degrees. It's like between 50 and like 65 in the summer. I'm like, this place sounds terrible. This is awful.
Oh, it's got beautiful rolling fields. Old castles.
But it also never goes below freezing. So it's kind of like the San Diego of terrible weather. It like never really gets too cold, but it's also never warm.
Ooh, I kind of like that analogy. It's like the equal and opposite of San Diego. Yeah. So it's never the worst, but it always sucks just a bit.
Yeah.
That should be their tagline. Come to Scotland. It's never the worst, but it sucks a whole lot.
I completely understand why William Wallace was like, all right, fuck this noise. I'm tacking down south. That's why this bullshit, you know?
I was going to say, like, maybe because I watched Braveheart and, like, Highlander at such a young age that I just had this love for Scotland and Sean Connery as James Bond. I was like, oh, Scotland's got to be fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I still think so. Like, I still would be down to go and enjoy it. I mean, you're wearing itchy wool sweaters in the summer. It's great. You do some hunting. It sounds wonderful. I'm in.
A hunting party almost, if you will.
All right. Stuck down for me, the U.S. rail system. Okay. Adam and Robin take a trip to France from England. Do they fly? Nope. But Dylan, you must be asking, England is an island. How else could they get there? They take a fucking train that's built underwater. An underwater train. This ain't some Atlantis shit. This is now, you know, this isn't future or some crazy alien society. No, between England and Europe, they have a train that goes under the water. I had to take a train from Boston to New York, which is quite short, and the toilets were overflowing. There's like vomit everywhere. Seats are uncomfortable. The thing shut down like 4 times. The U.S. rail system's a piece of shit. And I feel like there's some sort of documentary I could watch about how, like, lobbyists for the airline industry or something ruined the rail system. Or there's probably the cars. There's probably cars. You know, big car was up in there. But it's just bothersome that there's no easy and fun and efficient way to get between major cities across the United States. Because I was in Europe, and I took trains around Europe, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful way to see the countryside, and it was just a great experience. You know, you're popping champagne on the train, having a laugh. You know, you're sitting facing each other. Here, it's just like, next stop, fucking nowhere in Connecticut. It's like, oh, good God, this is going to be horrible. Like, I have a big problem with this, and I'm not going to do a full rant on it because it actually really bothers me because trains are wonderful, but seriously, United States, you have a huge GDP. Get your fucking shit together. Get a rail system.
Yeah, a few things there. One, can you imagine the train like breaking down when you're under that channel?
I would have a fucking panic attack. No questions asked.
Two, trains are awesome. I mean, as a kid, if you didn't like trains, get the fuck out. Because trains were the fucking best. I still like trains.
Oh, yeah. I still like trains. Yeah. Like, my nephew comes over and he's like, oh, you want to play with Thomas the Tank Engine? I'm like, fuck, yeah, I do. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Do we have the whole crew? Is everyone there? Where's the conductor? Oh, RIP, George Carlin.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was a comedian. I just thought he was the guy from that.
Yeah, right? Imagine, like, that was a huge blow in a good way for all of us as we age, just being like, oh, you know, the wholesome conductor from Thomas the Tank Engine ends up being like one of the dirtiest, but also most cerebral comics. What a wonderful transition for us.
Oh, and also I took the train from New London to Boston recently, and they just upped and canceled my train. First of all, it's run by the government, which I found out, which is why the trains are terrible. They just are like, yeah, we don't give a fuck about this. But they canceled my train, and then they're like, so do you want your refund or do you want to reschedule it? We're not going to help provide either of those things, but if you want them, let us know. I'm like, what? Like, you either reschedule it and let me know if it's okay, or you refund the money instantly. That's the only two options.
Yeah.
So I have to call and wait on, I wait like 30 minutes and they're like, oh, we can just give you a call back. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I call back and then they're like, yeah, the prices are more expensive now. So, and I'm like, absolutely not. There's zero way I'm paying more money for the train you canceled.
Wait, so you've been known to, you know, some people have like a blacklist or whatever for people in their lives. You know, it's like, oh, I hate this person. And I'm going to succeed because of them, which is fucked up that people do that. A burn list. That's what they call it. You have a burn list for places like Best Buy.
Comcast. Yep. Comcast, I like how you know these. This is great. I appreciate this.
So is the Amtrak system on your burn list?
No, they heard my voice and they were like, oh, this guy, he'll start pulling up rails, like rail tracks, to if he has to. They heard my voice starting to creep up. I was very calm and nice. And I was like, listen, I am not paying extra money for this. And they got someone on the line. And they're like, yeah, you're definitely right. Sorry about that. And I'm like, okay, they must have heard about me, D-Man. They didn't want the fire.
No, they did not
they want weren't ready for this. Yeah, I would have gone at great lengths. It was $10, by the way, upcharged, and I was so upset at a principal. Yeah.
You'd be like Mr. Glass from Unbreakable, just derailing trains left and right. Or your favorite movie, Unstoppable. Tony Scott, my boy.
What a terrible movie.
That movie's great, by the way. The bad guy is the train. Could you imagine? God damn. All right, well, I'm just glad we're both aligned that the U.S. rail system's shit, and they got to get their stuff figured out. Let's jump into quick pick your character. Who'd you have for your favorite character from this novel?
Well, I mean, I think this one's a no-brainer. It's Bob, right?
He's duh. Yeah, maybe the rabbit.
But yeah, Bob's the clear favorite here. Everyone else has, you know, had some darker summing up with him, so.
Yeah. Everyone else was just very hateable or pretty boring. Everyone was boring. The only person that wasn't was like Henry, what's his name? The actual author. It's like, okay, this guy's fucked up.
Henry Winter?
Henry Winter.
Although October Jones is a fire name.
Well, actually, what's even crazier is her first name was Rainbow. So she changed her name from Rainbow Jones to October Jones.
Yeah.
It was like, she didn't want to be known as Rainbow, so she took October. It's like, well, Rainbow's a pretty crazy name. I mean, I'd love to talk to her parents and see how high they were when they made up that name. All right. Well, Steph, good buddy. Welcome. We're welcoming Steph from Instagram at Rue Reads. Thanks for joining us. This was your selection, so we appreciate you sharing that with us. But I have a question for you off the bat. You're on Instagram at Rue Reads, so why Rue Reads? And follow-up question, does that mean you're a big Winnie the Pooh fan?
I am, but that's not what it's about, unfortunately. So Rue is my nickname. I like to say it's short for kangaroo because they're cuter, but it's short for rooster, so it has nothing to do with Winnie the Pooh, unfortunately. But when I first made my account, I was like, I kind of wanted to keep it on the DL, like from people I knew. And only certain people in my life call me Rue, so like, all right, I'll just not use my real name. And then a week into it, I think it was my brother got a notification on his Instagram that was like, people you may know. So I was outed, but
that'll happen. Instagram will, you know, screw you over like that. If you try to have anything secret from the world, they'll immediately be able to find you. So.
I did not have my back, but.
So why did you decide to make the count in the first place? You have like a really eclectic book thing going on Instagram.
When I first started it, I didn't even know that Bookstagram existed. I didn't know that it was such a huge corner of Instagram. And I had seen like maybe one bookish post, and I was sitting outside at a coffee shop and the tables were painted really cool. And I had my book open and my coffee, and I was like, oh, I'm like, this would be a cool photo for my Instagram story. I just like had the thought like, oh, maybe I should make a separate page that's all book themed. And then I did it. And then once I kind of got on there and I discovered that there was like a million people on, I just started following a bunch of people, had people follow me back, and it just became bigger than I anticipated. But it's been really good. I like met one of my best friends through it.
What? Really?
Yeah. She introduced me to some of her bookish friends, and we have like a real life book club now. So it's been really good and positive.
Wait, you have a real life book club through internet, right?
Essentially, it started because we met through the internet, but
yeah, but you're not like going to San Diego once a month on vacation to talk about books.
I kind of wish.
Because you sent us Rock, Paper, Scissors, which we decided to read and enjoyed. So thank you for that, like I said. But do you kind of stick with the like mystery thriller genre, or you mix it up?
I definitely mix it up. I mean, I read mostly fiction. I like reading about like realistic things, real people, real situations, real feelings, all that. I'm not so much into fantasy or sci-fi, those genres. So basically like the more emo, the better. As far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But yeah, I do like to mix it up with mystery thrillers and like sometimes like memoirs or other non like true crime, stuff like that. But
so favorite book as an adult, favorite book as a child, go.
But I would say my favorite book is actually a YA book, which I don't read a lot of anymore, but would be Perks of Being a Wallflower. As a kid, I don't know if I have like a one specific favorite, but I loved like Judy Blume and Beverly Cleary and all that.
Mm. Are you more audiobook or are you an analog person?
I used to be more analog for some reason. Since the pandemic hit, I can't read like a real person anymore.
Keith can't read, so it's perfect. We're going to do our love-hate segment on the pod here. So I think you're familiar, but if you're not, and to people that are listening that aren't familiar, we're just talking about things we loved about the book and things we hated about it. So, you know, just like anything else, there's a yin and a yang. Some things are good, some things are bad. We'll jump right in with love. And Steph, you know, start us off. What'd you love about the book?
I get to kick us off. Yeah. Can I change the rule for a minute and do a hate love together?
Yes, of course. Love to hate or hate to love it?
Okay, because this is something I read this last month, and it's still bothering me. I'll start with the hate. Hated that Amelia took Adam's phone out of the car and tried to leave it at home without him knowing.
What did you hate about that?
I hate that because I feel like you just don't fuck with someone's phone. I almost feel like the author doesn't know me, but I feel like personally attacked by it because I am too attached to my phone.
Keith had a proposal earlier. Keith, would you like to give the proposal from earlier in the podcast because Steph didn't hear it?
What's worse here, hiding the phone for an 8-hour journey or putting sleeping pills in a tea, which is great? I mean, I don't know what the issue is.
Helping someone get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. What's the problem here?
It's actually really thoughtful. Yeah.
So you're in agreement that taking someone's phone, way worse.
Way worse.
She deserved to get killed. Would you go that far? I mean, what? Who said
that? And then my love that goes along with that is that he saw her do it and went and got his phone and brought it anyways. Like, I essentially wanted to start the slow clap, except I was alone by myself and no one would be able to hear me. But I was like, that's right, Adam. That's right.
We like that because we were on the same page. Don't go taking anyone's phone. Keith, what'd you have for love?
I like the twist D-Man had alluded to earlier that some people, I think, saw it coming, or I'm not smart enough to see these things coming. So I had a couple of oh shit moments. Oh shit, Robin was his ex-wife, you know? I liked it.
Yeah, I did not see that coming, personally. Like, I mean, sometimes I'll guess, like, little things, but yeah, I didn't guess it.
Every twist I predict is just Fight Club. Like, oh, he has another personality. That's every single one of my twists. I'm like, Robin is Amelia. They're the same person. But it never comes true.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my loves, too. So I'll just jump into it anyways, because I felt like it was a suspenseful slow roll. You know, they kept teasing to the fact that both of them knew something, or that, you know, only one person was going to come out of this. And I think, like, in Adam's mind, it was like, I'm going to either leave this woman for Robin or something along those lines. And then for her, for Amelia, it was just, I might leave him because we're not happy together. But Alice made it seem like, and I can call her Alice because we're close, but she made it seem like there was some weird stuff afoot. And then, you know, you throw in the witch stuff, which obviously meant nothing, and this weird animal that just turned out to be a friendly bunny and not like the bunny from the Holy Grail, Monty Python, that is. So I just liked how they slow rolled that until you got to the point of the reveal, and then it was like bang bang real quick. Like that a lot. So you know what, Steph's throwing it with the love hate, so I'm gonna mix it up too, because I did hate though the second reveal. Oh, Adam's the one that killed his mom and it wasn't Amelia. Hold on, it got to be like Inception where it's like, oh, now we're gonna go into this person's dream, into this person's dream, into this person's. Like, all right, I was cool with it being Amelia that killed the mom. Why did it have to be 2 13-year-olds having sex in a playground and then going joyriding and killing his mom? It was weird.
It's a little much.
Thoughts?
I like that it wrapped up the reason that Adam didn't have a driver's license, because I was really pissed at the beginning when Adam was critiquing Amelia's driving. Like, yo, dude, you don't have a fucking license. You're not allowed to talk. You know what I mean? It's like criticizing a cook. Am I right, D-Man? D-Man's a cook.
Maybe, yeah.
You are?
No, like for my friends and family and loved ones.
He's kind of a cook.
Fun fact.
Not by profession.
And he's a dog shelter attendee, right? That's your main job.
Yeah, I make sure people don't adopt dogs and they go to the straight to the kill shelter. I'm like, you want to do an Instagram account for your dog? No, can't get adopted. Rejected.
That's a reference to the book, by the way.
I love animals of all kinds. I'm an animal lover.
The dog was probably my favorite character. The rest of them were so unlikable.
Yes, so we're all in agreement. We literally all said Bob.
I think I wrote that, like I was taking notes and I read it, and I was like, favorite character, Bob the dog. And then I was like, least favorite character, everyone else.
Yeah. What did you not like about everyone else? Because obviously they were hateful and hateable.
I think at the beginning, Amelia and Adam, like, it was sort of implied that they were going on this trip, but only one of them was going to come back. And they kind of, I think I remember they both implied that separately. And I was like, Can we just, like, kill everybody? And it's not that unlikable characters can't be interesting and fun to read. They were just annoying. Boring, annoying, I don't know.
And when they first said that stuff at the beginning and they were like, oh, you know, who's coming back? He's not coming back. She's not coming back. Only one of us is coming back. The only thing I could think about was just someone, whoever survives, bring Bob back, you know, just make sure Bob gets home.
Exactly.
Did you have anything else that you loved about the book, Steph?
I mean, I did like the setting. I thought that was good for mystery thriller vibes. I wouldn't want to be there. Like, I would have turned right around and driven home.
Yeah, that's one of the things I didn't understand. And it's actually in my hate. Why are Amelia and Adam so chill when they show up to the chapel? You'd think when you pulled up to this chapel that's run down, there's no one in it, the lights are off, it's in the middle of nowhere Scotland, you haven't seen anyone, you wouldn't just be like, maybe this wasn't a good idea, especially the doors are chained and now they're not chained. If you're Amelia specifically, it's like, I'm good, right? If someone tells you to go down the cellar to go get some wine and you hear Amelia in your ear, if that was me, I'm out. And I'm not a big supernatural person, but that would be enough for me to just say, I'm good. Spiders alone, out.
Also, one of my hates was there was a lot of cliches, and you just reminded me of one of them, like when the bats all, like when they open the door and the bats all fly out.
Yeah,
like,
very Batman.
I just thought it was really cheesy.
Keith, what did you have there?
Yeah, so my biggest hate, you guys were talking about Bob. So you show up to an Airbnb or an inn, and it's complete shithouse. It's not cleaned. There's no food. There's no heat. The power is shoddy, or at least you think it is. And then you get a note that says, hey, you know, despite me not taking care of this place at all, please don't bring your dog in here. I know it's 10 degrees and it's kind of freezing outside, but leave him outside the door. Don't bring him into your bedroom. I'm not paying attention to that note, right? My dog's coming into the bed. My dog's chilling with me. Like, fuck your note. Fuck your place.
I don't even remember that part.
Yeah, that was the reason that she was able to steal Bob away, because he wasn't allowed in the room. That was the one thing in the note, the handwritten note. She was like, no dogs allowed. And they're like, all right, well, get the fuck out of here, Bob. I was like, wait, what?
I don't think any dog owner on the planet would be, and I'm not one, would be like, okay, no problem.
Also, couldn't your dog like freeze to death if you just leave it outside on the stairwell?
Well, you said Scotland never gets super cold, you know, so.
Well, it's snowing. Right. And it's like, I don't know what super cold is.
I do have a question though, Keith. Are you a snuggle at night with your girlfriend's dog kind of guy?
It's like an 8-pound dog. I'm cutting this part, but yes.
Why are you cutting that? Don't cut that. Are you snuggling with this dog? Tell me. Tell the world, Keith.
Yeah, of course.
Fine. See?
You better be.
Yeah.
Didn't that feel better?
This is a safe space, Keith.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't going anywhere. It's just between us.
Yeah.
We talked about this earlier, but one of the things I loved is dogs with human names. So Keith had referenced this. So his dog that he, this 8-pound dog that he definitely doesn't cuddle with, is named Fred, right? I had a friend who had a friend's dog that she would watch. That's name was Steve Buscemi. And I was convinced it was Steve Buscemi, because she would just like randomly be like, oh, I'm hanging out with Steve Buscemi. And I was like, oh, weird. Like, oh, you live in New York? Like, maybe you just go to lunch with Steve Buscemi.
You're like, all right, name dropper.
Yeah, I had no idea. And then it became from Steve Buscemi, it became Steve. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, you and Steve are hanging out. Like, that's totally fine. I'm cool with that, you know? And I just find that when you have a dog with a human name, there are just so many odd situations you can get into. So Bob, love it. Robert, Sir Robert, whatever you want to do. Big fan.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure.
Any other loves do we have here?
Oh, I had maybe one of my favorite lines I've ever read in any book.
Mm.
There's Forrest less shady than my wife. Do you remember that?
Got him. Got him.
It was so good. That was a love of mine.
That's a potent quotable right there. Yeah, Keith, did you have any other loves?
Got a quote.
Oh, you got a quotable too?
It was, Amelia says in her voice that Adam hasn't had an affair, which is untrue because he had an affair with her. Mm. But she says his only affair is with words. Either of you have only had affairs with words? I mean, I'd bang a Harry Potter book, but I mean, wait, what?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know it either, but that's what he said. So.
I don't either, but I was reading a review on Goodreads about this book. They were talking about like all like the really cheesy like idioms that she used. Can I read you guys some of them?
Please,
they're so
please
funny.
Do.
Alice is a friend of the program, by the way, just as a heads up.
God damn it.
Good old fiends.
I'm so fired. Alice, I respect you. I enjoyed the read.
Yeah, you recommended really it. Cool. That's why we're here. So, you know, Alice will forgive you.
Okay, ready? Promises lose their value when broken or chipped, like dusty, forgotten antiques. Secrets are only secrets for the people who don't know them yet. That's the problem with following in someone else's footsteps. If you leave a bigger mark than they did, they tend to get upset. Sometimes the early bird eats too many worms and dies.
Is that one entire quote?
Or? No, it wasn't.
Okay. I was like, wow. She really went like one after another after another.
Yeah. You're like, that was some paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you someone was like, early bird gets the worm. And she's like, I could just change that around to make that seem dark.
Exactly. But yeah, it was full of those. I didn't like that they slut-shamed Adam's mom.
How so? I don't remember that part.
They kept referring to her, like, being with men when he was little and, like, wearing that kimono or whatever she was wearing. And
yeah, she had a feel-good outfit. Like, what's the issue with that? She's like, yeah, I'm feeling sexy. I'm putting this kimono
She's
on.
She's like, I'm single. I'm living my best life.
I think it was more of a Richard Pryor situation where, like, his mom was selling her body, which is totally fine, but if you're doing it with your kid around and, like, having Johns just, like, coming in and out of your house.
She hated Adam. She was trying to send a message. That was the message she was sending.
Sending a message to the whole league? That's a weird way to do it.
She's like, I'm bringing more guys over because I don't want you in the house. And he didn't take the hint. I think that's the problem.
Yeah. If you want to operate a brothel, that's fine. But, like, just probably not with your kid around. They might turn out like Richard Pryor and be a hilarious comedian. But more likely or not, they're going to just have the same ending. Heroin.
Yeah, no, I respect that take for sure.
The last thing that I really loved about this book, and it's kind of ridiculous we haven't talked about it yet at all, is just rock, paper, scissors in general, right? Who doesn't love rock, paper, scissors? Is that not the number one way to decide any sort of 50-50 argument? You know, two sides. Rock, paper, scissors, by the way, invented in China during the Han Dynasty, which was right around the time Jesus was born. Coincidence? I don't know. It was like, I think it was originally like, or in Japan maybe, it was like frog, slug, snake. Frog eats the slug, slug eats the snake, snake eats the frog. That's how it went.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, and you did it with like hands, like this would be like slug, frog, and like snake.
Dylan's throwing up gang signs right now if anyone's listening.
For
to
those
this.
Listening.
But you guys call it rock, paper, scissor, right? Or are you calling it something else?
Yeah, no, rock, paper, scissors, for sure.
I know other countries, they mix it up with, like, paper, rock, scissor. Or some people call it Rochambeau. But I always thought Rochambeau is when two men or two women stand across from each other and kick each other in the genitals. And whoever quits loses. Yeah, that's a real thing.
Okay, dude, yeah. Man.
More important question, though. What's your opener? Rock, paper, scissor. What do you shoot first?
I'm not telling you. I size the person up.
That's bullshit. You don't size anyone up.
I'm going paper against you, D-Man, all day. I can just tell.
I'm a paper guy myself. Nope, paper guy.
Okay.
Steph, what about you?
Well, we tie.
I think I'm a rocker.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Both of us will get you then.
But you never know, because you read people, Keith. You might throw out the scissors. You never know.
That is a good point.
And last and important question. Is it just one when you play rock, paper, scissors, or are you doing best out of three?
No, best of three. Of course.
Yeah, best out of three.
See,
for
thank
sure.
you. I appreciate that.
I had another one I didn't care for. Maybe I just didn't understand, but the loose ends. I thought there was a bunch. One, October Jones. Did she kill herself or did someone kill her?
Robin.
Robin killed her?
I
okay.
So.
And then was Robin just a psychopath the whole time or
yes.
was it her dad that was a
In
psychopath?
A great way. They both were.
From her dad's perspective, you don't know. You know, they never cleared that up.
She thought her dad killed her mom and the dad thought she was crazy. Steph, what do you think?
I think she was a little nuts. I don't know. I kept going back and forth. At first, I was like, this bitch is nuts. She's crazy. And then when you kind of like find out her story and who she is and the background, I like started to like warm up to her. And then by the end, I was like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, I'm with you, because at the end of the day, she did try to get that ring off Amelia's finger and decided, you know what, I'm just going to cut her finger off. And I'm no psychological profiler, but if you're chill with cutting someone's finger off,
there's something off.
Probably got some other issues, you know. You're probably down to kill Rainbow.
Oh, I thought you were saying that makes her rational, like she didn't bite it off or something, you know.
She's not fucking Gollum. What? Steph Gollum, by the way, Lord of the Rings is a fantasy book. I don't know if you're familiar.
Never heard of her. You know what else I was kind of a hate for me was the whole face blindness thing, because I don't know really that much about it, but I thought it was just like you don't remember people's faces, but the way that she kept describing it was almost like he'd be staring at Amelia and not know what she looked like still. Like, I don't know, the way she was describing it was all over the place, and I was really confused.
But what did you think about his excuse? Like, I thought it was you when he cheated on her.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I thought for sure. It made perfect sense.
He's like totally legit.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no big deal, honey. Totally understand your disability.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to do some random disease, and I apologize for those that have it, but you got to make the whole book about that. Because you can't just be like, oh, yeah, everyone knows about this propecia or whatever it's called.
No, that's the hair transplant thing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know about that. But nobody knows what this thing is, you know?
Yeah, they didn't do a very good job of explaining exactly how that works.
Doesn't, like, Brad Pitt or someone have that?
Oh, I have no idea.
No shot, so. Really?
I might have made that up.
Well, it's news. We broke it here.
I agree with that.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Brad Pitt has face blindness. I'm not blind to his face, though. Did anyone else have any hates? Steph, you said you had some hates.
At the end of her letter, she'd be like, kiss, kiss. It would just make me cringe every time. I hated that.
The audiobook made it way worse.
Yeah, the audiobook definitely made it worse.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought it was a quote from Chris Brown. Kiss, kiss. Great song. I mean, it's a good song. So I thought she was just like quoting that.
I'm sorry, Keith. Chris Brown has been canceled.
He's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the artist. I don't like the person. Okay.
I thought it was a quote from Nacho Libre featuring Jack Black when he writes, kiss, kiss, little kiss, big kiss.
Well, I could get behind.
We covered the spectrum. Steph, yeah.
Thanks so much for having me and for reading my book that I chose.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the book to our attention. So, Steph, at Rue Reads, check her out. Got great content on there and lots of fun books to read. Well, we don't have any listener mail this week, so if you guys want to, you know, call in, maybe, you know, send us a message, just a quick text, maybe a tweet, as they call them, a tweeter, let us know, because, hey, we love listener mail, and they're always fun. So, get on that, people. Come on. Let's get into Cast the Movie. One of the producers from The Crown bought the rights to Rock, Paper, Scissors, and it will be coming to Netflix soon. It's going to be a 6-part series.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen it cast yet, so if they're listening and they need some help, Keith, help these guys out. Who do you got for the cast?
I was actually going to say this would be a really tough book to make to a movie, especially with the prosopagnosia, whatever it's called. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, just because the twist would not be nearly the same. They must basically have to give away the twist right away, right?
You have Amelia, the narrator, and then, like, when you transition into the real thing, like, you change her voice. Okay. Although, I don't know if it would matter because you wouldn't see Robin. I'm interested to see how they do it.
Or Amelia could have been reading the notes, like she found them. That at least makes it so it's like not doing a twist for a twist's sake. That's like, oh, I was reading these, but they're written from this person's other person's perspective. We just solved that. That's why we're producers, you know? We solve these things. But for Adam, I had Colin Farrell. I feel like he plays like a dark, you know, writer a lot.
Are you talking about Johnny Depp from Secret Window?
Yeah, he's kind of like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I could have done Johnny Depp, I guess. But Colin Farrell is an Irishman. He's over there in the islands. You know, he knows. So it felt right. Yeah. Felt right. I think Colin Farrell is actually a very underrated actor. People always say he's overrated, but I actually think he's now become underrated. I think he's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's done the full twist. I think Colin Farrell's great, personally. Have you ever seen In Bruges?
Yes, that one was a little too artsy for me. I didn't really understand the appeal. It was good. It got really high rated on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be amazing.
I just liked how it was like a novel idea, you know, same kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I had Ewan McGregor, who is Scottish. So there you go.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah. You know, I just figured him in his, like, especially now that he's aged a little bit with his beard, a little gray beard action going on. I think he'd play the role pretty well. I mean, obviously, Ewan McGregor, like, of course he would. Like, who am I talking to? You know, of course. How dare I say anything other than perfect. He would crush it. So he would crush it as Adam. Who'd you have for the ladies?
I had for Amelia, Carrie Mulligan.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, she's from Promising Young Woman.
Oh, okay. I also had no idea how old these people were throughout the entire book. Like, are they in their 50s? Like, she's been to two marriages. He's had, like, 10 years with both of them, right? Or, like, somewhere along those lines.
They're both the same age, and they should be in, like, their 40s or 50s, I think, right?
Yeah, so it was hard to tell. Like, I was like, am I going to cast, like, Kate Blanchett for this, or am I casting someone much younger? I assume when they do the TV show, it's going to be a lot younger, but...
Carrie Mulligan, if you've seen that, she's kind of got the crazy eye looks that you can pull off. And then Robin, I think her character is very aligned or similar to the Gone Girl actress, Rosamund Pike.
Oh, it's funny, because I had Rosamund Pike for Amelia.
Oh, nice, okay.
Because she's supposed to be, like, the hotter, newer...
Well, he can't see faces, so I don't know.
Robin says, like, oh, she has a better, like, she's a great figure under there, like, she's got a banging body, whatever, you know, she says. I mean, she could play either role, because she definitely had... Did you see, like, I Care a Lot on Netflix?
No, I heard that's pretty good, too, yeah.
Yeah, but she plays that, like, conniving person really well. And obviously from Gone Girl, she was great and scary. So I think she'd play either role. But I had her for Amelia. And for Robin, I had Kate Winslet, who, I mean, we're talking about an Oscar winner here. You know, she can do whatever she wants to do. That's for sure.
I was thinking Kate Winslet, too. But I didn't know if she was crazy enough. I needed a little more crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I think she can dial up the crazy.
Ooh, really? I like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Mare of Easttown was phenomenal.
I didn't see that one. Okay,
like,
interesting.
Oh, you should watch that on HBO. It's great. She does, like, a Pittsburgh accent really well, which is hard for anyone to do, or like a Philly accent, but, like, for, you know, someone who's British, I just feel like, how does she do this? Phenomenal. Did you want to cast Bob, or?
For Henry Renters, I did Anthony Hopkins. I feel like any old... curmudgeon, I just do Anthony Hopkins. It's just automatic. So,
yeah, that would work. I think you'd also do like a Colin Firth. I didn't cast him.
I feel like Colin Firth looks too young. That's the problem. He's supposed to be someone.
He's
like...
just a beautiful man. He is a beautiful man. Well, would you recommend this book?
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, the British kill it with this type of stuff. They crush it.
They really do.
I guess it started with Agatha Christie, but like anytime I read one of these, and I know you didn't love Hunting Parties, but I thought that was good. I like this one. I like the one last one we read. I don't know if that was a British author, but I like the mystery things. I can never see the twists or turns coming. I'm just not smart enough, which makes them much more fun for me. So I like it. If you're into mystery, you don't read a ton of them, I think you'd appreciate it more. If you read a ton, my guess is it's not like one of the top ones ever.
Yeah, I mean... I totally agree with you there. The British do kill it for some reason with this stuff. And I read a lot of reviews on this book when I was, you know, kind of researching it a little bit. And a lot of the people were like, oh, I saw this twist coming like way, way ahead of time. And hey, if you did, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe I'm a dullard. I don't know. But
I thought you were going to see it because you like sniffed out the Hunting Party easily. So I was like, oh, Dylan must have seen this coming. I just didn't, you know.
No, I didn't. And this is the best part of the twisty stuff is when you see it or when they reveal it, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess they weren't really clear that it was her and like he had a future marriage or a previous marriage. But didn't see that coming whatsoever. And they did a good job with those red herrings you were talking about of like something else is going on here. You know, there's a whole murder thing that's being planned or, you know, there's witchcraft involved or maybe it's Patty from the corner store who's going to come in here like guns a-blazing like a Quentin Tarantino movie. But, you know, I didn't see it coming. And when it was revealed, I was like, oh, that makes total sense and was actually pretty legit. So well done. Although the second kind of twist, like I said before in our conversation with Steph, it didn't work for me. Either way, I would recommend the book. That's what it comes down to. I would recommend it. I think it's a good kind of wintry by the fire read, not necessarily a beach read, but it's really the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
A wintry by the fire read is the same thing as a beach read, just in a different context. But considering it's in a cold Scottish village, you know, this works perfect. So we don't have our... Oh, no, we're doing Red Rising next,
yeah, right? Red Rising by Pierce Brown. Red Rising by Pierce Brown.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So Red Rising, this is going to be our second time reading it, but we just liked it so much when we read it the first time that we had to go back, and we're going to have a guest on as well. So if you haven't done it yet, everyone, get out to your local library or get on Audible or any Libby, get on any of those apps and get the book. It's a good one. If you liked Hunger Games, if you like Harry Potter, if you like good young adult stuff, who doesn't, then check it. So until next time, Keith, it's great talking to you.
Indeed. Bye now.
Bye now.